Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Afternoons on the Score.
I'm glad KGB has put Mark Schlereth under his flag.
KGB goes, you let them hanging around and hanging around and hanging around.
Kids got alligator blood.
I'd like to see if the callers today could do better.
We got a prize to give away. We got some something we can give.
Yeah, walking. Tickets laying around. Let me know.
A game like this doesn't come together often outside the casinos.
Let's do it.
We go to Gary, where Cole is on the Score. What's up, Cole, KGB?
Hey. Gachin.
I am still up at 20 grand from last time I stick it in you.
I am still up 20 grand from this last time I stick it in.
You guys love it or like it?
I like it. Good start.
I like it.
The key to the game is playing the man.
Tom in Riverside has been hanging on for quite some time.
Gentlemen, in 2 years, Mitchell Trubisky will be gone. Pay someone else. Because in 2 years, you don't have to pay that man his money.
Okay, nicely done, Tom.
Lies down a monster.
Bob in Columbus has a KGB Bears thought.
Thank you for taking my call. Here's my concerns.
No more! No! Not tonight!
Must be kicking yourself for not walking out when you could.
Bob, want a cookie?
Want a cookie? No.
Chris on the north side. Chris KGB, let's talk Bears.
He trapped me.
Chick, chick, chick. He trapped me.
Nobody's more trapped than Mitch behind this horrible line and fans trapped in this deep depression.
Thank you, Chris.
He beat me. Straight up, I feel so satisfied. Pay that man his money.
Lock and load.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Well done, Chris Tannehill, our audio overlord on Bears fans as Teddy KGB to make the Bears fun again, because it certainly won't happen with their play. This hour on The Score brought to you by Zappolis and Associates in Mokena. It's McNeil and Parkins on The Score, where tonight you can hear on the home of Bulls basketball, the Bulls and Lakers, and our good friend and teammate, Bill Weddington, here to join us. He'll be on the call. He's with us now. What's up, Bill?
Gentlemen, how you doing?
We are outstanding. We are in what I call the crown jewel of Chicago sports venues. One day after it celebrated its 25th birthday, the United Center.
Ooh, very 25 nice.
25 years already, Bill.
It has been. Wow. Yes, I've been here that long.
Make you feel old?
Yes, very old.
That's okay.
Very old. But it's all right, because as long as you can be as old as anyone, as long as you're still here, it's good.
That's correct. Every day above ground is a good day. Jim Boylan is upset with his team's effort. And you can't blame him. I'm surprised it's taken as long as it has. And I thought yesterday he chose his words very carefully, not quite as edgy as he was a year ago. What I want to know from you is if the guys in that room who are the most important guys possess that type of killer instinct to play defense at the ends of games, because the collapse they've had in some of these road games where they've been losing to teams they should beat. It's appalling.
When you say most important guys in the room, you're talking about Chuck Swirsky?
he's above him.
Just work with me, big boy.
Work with me, big boy.
It's been disappointing to close out games. I mean, Bulls have come up. They've had 18-point leads, 22-point leads in the fourth quarter, and they've thrown them away against teams that, you know, we were talking before we came on the air that – Bulls, we thought they were going to be preseason, were going to beat. Part of the problem is, and I'll mention this with a caveat, we're on the road. Young team, young Bulls team, you're on the road. Don't manage yourself well. A lot of traveling going on, so the guys have been a little tired. But they have not. The fact of the matter is they haven't closed out games better. And I'm sure Jim Boylan's frustrated with that, and he's obviously made a point now to bring it out into the open and talk about it. And now guys have to come out and respond, and we'll see how they come and respond tonight. My timing is, you know, you're playing – arguably the best team in the NBA right now, at least percentage-wise they are. Maybe that was his point. You know, you're going to really have to come out and play tonight against the Lakers because they're the Lakers and they're that good. But it's when you really think about it, it's like, do we honestly have a, yes, we have a chance to go out and win every game, but is this the game that you'd bet on, the Bulls winning, looking
no.
at the season?
No, it isn't.
No, I wouldn't.
He's trying to light a fire under the guys and get them going, and you know they have to come out and respond, and they will or they won't, and we'll see what happens.
You played for one of the best motivator coaches ever, right? In Phil Jackson. What Jim Boylan using the media here? He would do this punch clock thing where you know you got a clock
time
in
clock,
to
yeah.
do your work. What were some of the ways that Phil would push those buttons and motivate?
Phil wasn't a yeller and a screamer, so if he raised his voice at you, something was wrong. And you listened because he wasn't yelling. He'd motivate you differently, try to guide you, talk to you about certain things, how you're doing, checking on your family, and then throw in a little bit, like, you know, when you're boxing out, make sure you hit the guy. You know, just little things to get you into it. But he did different things that just made you think. So it was never he'd say something, and it was never what he said. It was always something else that if you read into it, it was could mean two or three different things. And that's all he wanted you to do was think about it. And Phil understood. He'd come and talk about the offense when I was learning. He goes, look, it's not a series of plays. It's not A, B, C. It's a series of actions. And the actions can change. If you don't know where you're supposed to go, don't stand there. Just go somewhere. And you won't be wrong because everyone else will adjust around you. And that's what Phil would do. Is that you couldn't make a mistake. You just, as long as you didn't just stand still. So he'd kind of push you and guide you a little bit more that way. Really, never would call guys out that much. I mean, there were times when guys got called out, but really wasn't that often.
I know you don't want to sound like the get off my lawn guy, but the fact of the matter is, with both of the three-peat teams with the Bulls. He didn't have to do a lot of that. Those teams were self-policed with a lot of great leaders on it and guys who insisted on playing defense, too.
First of all, when you have Michael and Scotty playing defense and Horace in the first and then
right.
even Dennis, you say what you want about Dennis. Dennis played defense.
Yes, he did.
And at the time was our best big defender out on the floor. So you had three guys and then throw Ron Harper into the mix, too, that was a willing defender. You had four guys that play defense. You throw Luke Longley in there, me in there, Tony Kukoc in there. Regardless of what you think about our defensive game, with those four guys, we look good.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, hey, Bill, all you have to do is stand in front of Shaq. We'll get the rest. Just stand there. Don't let him get where he wants to go. But defense is you got to come out and you got to be willing to play. And that's what guys have to understand now. And we talked about Zach last year. If he wants to make that step to the next level and be like the superstar or get up that level, he's gonna have to play at both ends of the floor. And it's going on now. It's happening before our eyes, and he's got to step up and be consistent with it.
What percentage of defense is effort?
A large part of it. There is thought because you have to do it. You talk about Larry Bird. Was he the fastest player on it? No, but he was so smart. He anticipated and understood where he needed to play. Larry Bird is one of the slowest guys in the NBA, but he wasn't a great athlete.
I'll say it. He was one of the slower guys in the NBA.
But he understood where he needed to play, and that's thinking about where you have to go, and then obviously you got to have the effort to put yourself in there. So it's a large part of effort, but you also have to know where you're supposed to go.
Bill Wennington with us here, McNeil and Parkins on the Score. You mentioned your friend Chuck Swirsky. Do you have a Swirsk impression? Because Matt can do a great one. I was wondering if you have an impression of your partner. He's thinking.
He's mulling it over. He's thinking about the food they
How
had.
Was that?
Yeah. Oh. I'm not even going to give it a shot.
No, that was it. That was Chuck when I'm talking.
He's not listening.
Just work with me, big boy.
What I can't get is the whistle. That happened there, but when I want to do it, he kind of whistles his S's.
Swirsky.
Sausalito is a great Swirsky towel.
Wait, you're not supposed to listen to him, too?
He whistles.
so that it's two different shows during the broadcast, what you're saying. He's not listening to you.
Are we actually working together?
I think that's the goal.
Oh, okay.
I don't do play-by-play, but I think the idea is that you guys are working in harmony.
No, he's
Salsa.
Fun. He's fun.
Salsa.
Sauce. So, bring out the sauce. There you go, Chuck. Thank you.
You mentioned, listen, I could hear 90s Bulls stories all day long. It was the team that made me fall in love with the Bulls and really sports in general. If you have a story where it's like, all right, I'm dining out on this Dennis Rodman story. First Dennis Rodman story that comes to Bill Wennington's mind. What is it?
When he first got to town, he's in a weight room lifting, and I got to practice probably about 15 minutes after other guys got there, and I'm walking in the training room, and then I hear someone banging in the weight room way before practice. I look, and I see it's Dennis, and I walk in there, Steve Kerr, Judd Bush, Luke Longley, I think Randy Brown was in there. I say, hey, how's Dennis? Anyone talk to him? No, we're not talking to him. It's like, what? And Dennis and I had the same age, so I just went out and started talking to Dennis, and Dennis was fine. He was just quiet. If you saw the documentary, he was quiet. A shy guy, really wasn't outgoing, wasn't a gregarious guy. So he's in there, and he was fine. He was fun to be around. It was a lot of the stories about Dennis, obviously his character changed, and he became someone that he was trying to play act to be this wild, crazy guy, and it became that. But 9 times out of 10, you'd go out with Dennis. Dennis wasn't the show. It was the people coming up to Dennis that was the show. And mm-hmm. it was you got some interesting characters coming up and wanting to talk to Dennis and discuss issues.
Discuss issues.
Issues. Yeah, tattoos, piercings.
Yeah.
Things like that.
I saw a little of that in Salt Lake City and was in Seattle as well. And I've described it just watching you guys get off the team bus at the airport. And we're broadcasting from the same hotel. It's like you were rock stars. Did you feel like a rock star?
A little bit. I mean, as much as I can, I don't know what a rock star feels like. But yes, but there was so much going on. And all I can say is that thank goodness there wasn't Twitter and social media back then.
Yeah.
What would have been different?
You saw all the people that are out there getting off the bus and stuff. There were thousands of people out there. There were things going on that we can't talk about.
Well, I mean, because that's the thing. Like, the things that have come out even in books, you know, like Jordan gambling trips or Madonna and hot tubs and limousines. And it's like, that would be 24 hours of SportsCenter.
One time, we're getting off the bus and we're playing L.A. and we're in Beverly Hills. I can't remember what hotel we switched up, so we're in some very posh Beverly Hills hotel. And you saw there's hundreds, if not 1,000 people waiting for the bus. So we get off the bus. And back then, it was a very small traveling party. We had one bus. Everyone was on a bus. Broadcasters, team, players, coaches, equipment manager. Everyone was on the bus. We all got off the bus. So I'm getting off the bus, and right behind me is Michael getting off the bus, and I walk by, and I look, and there's people just clamoring to get to it. And there's a little... All of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I see Michael reach out and grab someone and just pull him in the line. And as I turn around and look, it's Tiger Woods. And so all of a sudden, you hear someone in the crowd goes, "Oh, my God, the guy in the hat's Tiger Woods. He's been standing next to me for 20 minutes.
What?
It was just one of the most famous calls.
Another face in the crowd.
Yeah, just another guy in the crowd hanging out. It was just like... People,
what year is this?
But if there was social media, that wouldn't have happened because someone would have taken a picture and then someone would have said, "Oh, wait a minute, who's that?" And it would have been pointed out right away.
So Tiger waits. It's interesting that
had to be after 97.
Well, right,
Masters was 97. Had to be 98.
It was 98.
Yeah. 98.
Okay. Yeah. So wow, Masters champion Tiger Woods just waiting in line to see you guys.
Yes.
That's a good time to be a Nike athlete.
Last time I saw you, Bill Wennington, in this building, we were at a Hawks game. Have you? I know you're busy with the Bulls right now, but have you had a chance to see our other United Center tenant and your thoughts on where that's heading this year? He's a hockey fan. He's a Canadian.
Yeah, sure, Canadian, of course.
I have not been out to a game yet this season. I could have gone to one, but it was like the one day off we had during training camp. And I had to travel back. Actually, I had to travel back to my summer house to close it up, so I had other issues that I had to take care of. But, yeah, it's tough. I'm hoping they can turn it around. They're trying. It looks like they're on the doorstep of a rebuild themselves.
Yep.
And we'll see what happens.
I was thinking about Wendell Carter Jr. and his role on this team. He seems wise beyond his years. I like when he speaks. You know, he talks about just go 1-0 in the next game, stop talking about the playoffs, stop talking about all-star games. He displayed leadership qualities last year, you know, 19 years old. Is it possible for a 20-year-old kid who doesn't have the ball in his hands all the time to be a leader of a group of grown men?
Yes, it is. And he just has to come out. And as time goes on, I think that'll become more and more prevalent in him and what he's going to do and the way he plays. And you can see we're 8 games into the season right now, and already he's becoming one of the most consistent players and, you know, averaging a double-double right now last 3 games. So he's playing really well, and when he speaks wisely, and he doesn't say really off-the-cuff things. And guys are listening to him right now. So it's going to happen more and more, and it's happened in the NBA before where guys step up and assume leadership roles.
Do you like where his offensive game can go, or is he always going to be the junk score, second chance points effort guy?
I like the way he's using his body now to score in the low post, and I think that's huge because, you know, that was the one question of being an undersized guy: is he going to be able to create that space? And he's doing that now. He's not rushing his shot anymore. When he first started last year, even the first couple of games this year, because he hadn't played in a year, was rushing his shot, trying to get it up too quickly where he thought the defense was going to block it. Now he's realizing that, you know, if I shoot with my right hand and I just put my body and get my left arm and elbow out a little bit, they can't block it anyway. So he's relaxing on that. When he becomes a consistent mid-range jump shooter, his game will really start to blossom. And if he ever gets any kind of three-point shooting game, then he'll be phenomenal.
What are your early impressions of the other young man who isn't old enough to drink legally, Coby White? Is he getting enough minutes for you?
He is, but he's finding out now that guys in the NBA, even if they're not on the starting five and are on the bench, they were the best team on a college team and are a lot quicker and more athletic than you were. When he first started playing, you see he'd get to the rim and he'd finish at the rim. Now he's getting to the rim and the shots are getting blocked. And he's going to have to learn to pick his spots and understand where the defense is. That big guys that are 7 feet tall or big guys that are 6'10", they move a little bit quicker than they did in college. And they're going to get there a little bit faster. So he has it. He'll get that. The minutes will come as he starts to get more productive. But if you saw the first couple of games, he did great. And now it's kind of sloughed off a little bit. But it's coming. He's a rookie. He's going to figure it out. And he's also figuring out now we're playing 8 games. You know, the college season is just starting. They're getting ready. This weekend is the first big game for college basketball. They've played a couple exhibition games. Mm-hmm. But he's already on game 8 and practices for a month already. So it's a little adjustment for him.
Obviously, you can win on any random night in the NBA. But what do you hope to see in terms of a measuring stick? You can't get a bigger test than LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
No, because you could put the three of us out there and we compete with any team in the NBA right now with those two on your team. And it's, wait, I was already part of a team like that.
Made it easy, huh?
Yeah.
That's good.
So,
do you ever think about how lucky you were for that, by the way? Think about that.
Do I think about it every day?
Every day?
Every day when I'm cuddling my rings up at night when I'm going to sleep. I'm like, this was amazing.
I wouldn't think rings would be very cuddly, but I like the image of Bill Wennington sleeping with his rings.
Oh, they're cuddly.
They are. Good for you. Bill, thank you for coming by. This was fun. Have a good broadcast.
Absolutely.
Even
gentlemen,
if Chuck doesn't listen to you.
He doesn't. I try to get him.
I like mine with lettuce and tomato, Heinz 57, and French fried potatoes.
That's your guy.
There you go.
Big kosher pickle and a cold draft beer.
He's got it.
I told you.
He's got it.
Which way do I steer to get a cheeseburger in paradise?
That's awesome.
Thanks, Bill.
That's awesome.
That's Bill Wennington. We're McNeil and Parkins on the score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I believe Chicago is the Mecca of basketball. No, there's nothing really to expand on. You know, some of the greatest players to ever play the game come from Chicago.
We just have to be ready for what they bring to the table. They're young, they're athletic, you know, and they play with a lot of pace. So if we don't get back in transition, it's going to be a long night, you know, and, you know, we have to be ready for that.
That's Anthony Davis.
Davison, LeBron James. We are McNeil and Parkins on the Score. We're live at the United Center at the Goose Island Pub, Section 109. If you're parking at the UC right now, we'll be here until 6 o'clock. Bottom of the hour on the Score, brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves Youth Hockey Program, presented by Kia. Go to chicagowolves.com/youth hockey to learn how to get your team on the ice to play during intermission of a Wolves game. We are winners. We are the Wolves.
LeBron James has been at this for a long time now, and he remembers the back end of the Bulls' glory years and grew up watching Michael Jordan play basketball at a very high level. So I certainly would understand why he would feel like Chicago is the Mecca.
No, that was Anthony Davis saying it, who grew up here. Anthony Davis saying that Chicago is...
But the first voice we heard was LeBron James, right?
No, the first voice was Anthony Davis saying, and then the second voice about the pace of the present-day Bulls.
Okay.
No, that's Anthony Davis.
I gotcha.
Because that's in line with the idea of him asking about if he's going to ever play here one day and what the Chicago roots mean to him.
The younger players in the league are probably not of the same mindset because they have not seen Chicago as a basketball mecca.
Right. You know, Anthony Davis is obviously not old, but he was, you know, he talks about Derrick Rose being his hero, right, for getting out of Inglewood and having his successes in the NBA. And it's why at some point we should talk to Greg Anthony. He'd be a good guy to talk to. He's doing the game for NBA TV tonight. The schedules work with his pregame production stuff. But, you know, there's NYC basketball culture, and then there's Chicago basketball culture, and there's a lot of, you know, competition between those guys. But, you know, you go back, you could go George Mikan, obviously go Dwayne Wade. You know, I don't know if you count Kevin Garnett as a Chicago basketball guy.
He was here very briefly, one year at Farragut?
Yeah, one year, not from here. But, you know, and then D. Rose takes it as the modern guy. Isaiah Thomas, obviously a legend. Maurice Cheeks, a Chicago basketball legend. So there have been many of them.
Yeah, and the Bulls have managed to be incredibly solid and solvent financially and continue to fill this building for how long? I have no idea. Look, before there were ever any banners in the building, not this building, the one we're in right now, but the one that used to be across the street, there was an era when the public relations director, Pat Williams, would be on the street giving away tickets a half an hour before tip-off just to try to get a few bodies in the house, where they would struggle to get 5,000-10,000 fans at a Bulls game in the early years. I don't see them, based on their lack of success these past few years, getting anywhere near that. But I wonder how long it has to remain a basketball abyss before people stop spending their money on this product, because it's an incredibly expensive ticket. And I know it's a good product, but at what point do people say, you know, been there, done that, let me know when you have a competitive team?
Well, it doesn't seem like anytime soon, because, I mean, last year they were, I believe, number one again in bodies through
percentage
the turnstile.
Or at least tickets sold.
Yeah, tickets sold. Not in percent capacity, but it's a big stadium. So number of tickets sold, they were number one in the NBA again, which they've been one, two, or three every year post-Jordan dynasty.
And they won, what, 22 or 23 games last year?
Yeah, something right. Like they're just... It's not a good product. Now, secondary market tickets dropped a lot last year. You could get into Bulls games for cheap, middle and late in the season last year. So it's not like there is that huge demand for the product, but there are enough Bulls fans, and it's frankly, it's an affluent enough fan base in a lot of areas where they sell a huge number of season tickets still, year after year after year.
So where's the pressure?
Right.
And where's the pressure on these athletes who are making tens of millions of dollars and are going to continue?
Well, so that's the thing, right?
That's what I wonder exists. And, you know, with the two most important players on this team, I think, are Markkanen and LaVine.
Yeah, they are.
They are the most important players on this team. And they don't seem to possess the want to.
Second in total attendance last year. Thank you, Sean. The want to... It's not only a problem in the NBA, right? But in the other sports, there's a couple of differences. Because in football, the contracts aren't guaranteed, and you can't really half-ass it on a football field.
Right.
Too dangerous.
Yeah.
Right? Same thing in hockey. Too dangerous.
You turn your head, you get blindsided, you get checked into a board, concussions, whatever. And then in baseball, you got a 100-mile-an-hour object being hurled at you.
Tough to be casual.
Very, very tough to be casual. In basketball, you can be a little bit more casual. So what you rely on is these guys are world-class athletes. They're competitors. No one wants to lose. Sure, you want to get paid, but once you get paid, you hope that you've got the pride to not want to get your head kicked in every single night. And so that goes to John Paxson and Gar Forman scouting the person. And Zach LaVine, if he's never a good defensive player, frankly, he can still earn his contract. He's actually underpaid by NBA standards based on what he gives you on the offensive end. Lowry, I don't know. Like, he's been called out now by his coach. He's been benched in the fourth quarter for Thaddeus Young at the close of these games, and he's supposed to be the best player on the team. So I hope he responds, and I hope he doesn't just go home and play video games and wait for his next big contract.
We'll see. This is going to be a fun test for the boys tonight. Looking forward to it. LeBron James in town.
I love it. I love whenever it happens. I try to come every year to see LeBron. Like, if I can get in the building, I've probably seen him 7-8 times in my life. First time was in high school. Remember seeing him early with the Cavs when they were trying to break through. Saw him with the Heat, and that team just felt totally unfair. Mm-hmm. Seeing him and Dwayne Wade in his prime.
Yeah,
with
that's the last time I saw him play in person was with him in Miami uniform.
But seeing him in a Lakers jersey, I mean, as someone who, like, the NBA was my first sports love, I've tried to see basically every great player since the late 90s in person, just to say that I did. And if I hadn't seen one like that, that's the game I circle on the calendar. It's like, oh, okay, I haven't seen Westbrook yet. Thunder come to town all once right. a year. I got to go see Westbrook.
Favorite and most disappointing, at least on the night when you chose to show up and see him.
I saw Kobe lay an egg. I saw Kobe just lay an egg, and then the game was a blowout, and so he played like 20 something minutes, and I was devastated.
I saw David Robinson once post a very mortal performance, first time, and it was late in his career, and I'd missed him, and I was looking forward to seeing it, and he was nothing special that night. Allen Iverson for me, I loved watching Allen Iverson play.
Oh,
that little SOB worked his ass off to get shots.
Yeah, I mean, there's an argument that pound for pound, he's the best basketball player ever.
Certainly the toughest.
Yeah.
He took a beating at 5'9", 165 pounds.
Yeah, and I mean, he was listed a little taller than that, but he was, I mean, just fearless. And he would just, and that was in the era where it was still more physical and the hand check rule hadn't been taken out yet, and it did not matter. I mean, his crossover was as good as any, his first step, and then he just played with such unbelievable swagger and toughness. It was incredible.
I assume you're camped out here for the All-Star weekend?
I mean, yeah, I don't have my tickets secured, but I love All-Star weekend.
You got tickets laying around? Let me know.
So I've got my feelers out. I'm willing to pay.
Get credentialed.
I would love to. I would love, but I want to.
You can get credentialed for that.
I'm
the Bulls flagship.
I hope so. Trust me, I'll be putting in for it. But no, I'd like to. Ideally, I'd like to go to either or both of the dunk contest, skills contest night, and then the game. I'd like to go with my brother, my nephew, who's a diehard NBA fan, and my dad, who took me to the All-Star game in Cleveland for the 50th anniversary of the NBA, 1997. Still probably like the coolest present I ever got.
That is a nice present.
Go there, see, you know, Kobe and Glenn Rice was the MVP of the game. He stole it from Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan had a triple-double in that All-Star game, but Glenn Rice had 20 points in the third quarter, so Glenn Rice got the MVP. It was at the old Gund Arena in
Richfield? Was it in Richfield,
Cleveland,
or was it actually in Cleveland?
Yeah, downtown Cleveland.
Okay.
Yeah, downtown Cleveland, the old Gund Arena. Got LL Cool J and Bill Murray's autograph in the Ritz-Carlton lobby.
Were they hanging out together?
They were not hanging out together, but believe it or not. But, yeah, man, I fell in love with the NBA in the late 90s, and you see these guys come. Like Anthony Davis, who Bulls fans will get a chance to watch tonight, I really think people forgot how good he is because he was just toiling away, and he's only won one playoff series in his career, and he's had some injury issues and being in New Orleans.
And because of that and his age, does it make sense for the Bulls to be a player for him?
Yeah, listen, if you get Anthony Davis, you get him. But
how much better are you?
you're better. I mean,
are you a contender?
No. Like, if you just added Anthony Davis to this team, are you a contender? No, I mean, Philly's still better than you. Obviously, Milwaukee, I think, is still better than you. But you're a firm playoff team in the East. You need to have three stars, right? And so if you've had Anthony Davis, you've got a top five player in the game. And then just the pressure is off Lowry, and the pressure is off Zach, and your defense is so much better because you've got a legitimate rim protector.
Come on in, you guard him.
Yeah. Like, it just
you
it,
finish.
He makes He makes everyone so. I was talking to a guy on one of the national shows that I did, Matt Moore. He was talking about how like 70-something percent of LeBron's passes so far this year have been to Anthony Davis. He's like, here, you take the ball, because he's so good. He's so talented. And to see a guy with his size to be able to be as graceful as he is on the perimeter. So, like, would it make the Bulls a contender? No, but it makes you – you're close enough to being a contender that, like, if Lowry broke out or Kobe White broke out or you signed one more piece that, yeah, you just do that. You don't say no to top five players in the NBA joining your team in their prime. Now – what I think will happen, because this is what happens to the Bulls, is Anthony Davis will be a Bull, but he'll be a Bull when he's 34 years old.
Yeah.
Or 36 years
Farewell
old.
Farewell tour time.
Yeah, it'll be like, oh, he'll do the Dwayne Wade thing, and he'll play 22 minutes a night. I do too. Right? That's obviously, but I mean, that's a decade away. But that's how I am conditioned to experience the Bulls when it comes to free agency. But the other thing is, man, these guys have to make it seem like this is an attractive place to play. Like, forget the culture stuff and the outside-the-box recruitment that I've talked about a lot with back from the PAX interview. They've got to play a brand of basketball that when players are playing, you heard LeBron there say, oh, they play an up-tempo style. If we don't get back in transition, it'll be a long night for us. They have to play a brand of basketball that other stars are going to want to come play with young guys. Be like, oh, Lowry's a star. Levine's a star. Kobe White's a star. I can go there and then put them over the top. Like, that's what this season is really all about. They're not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to be 500. But can you at least be respectable where star players are like, damn, the Bulls aren't a pushover?
Yeah, I think earlier in the show we established that the next playoff date in Chicago is a little bit less than 11 months away.
Yeah, I mean, best case scenario.
That's the next playoff date.
I'm glad we didn't bet the Bulls or the Hawks to make the playoffs. And in terms of pressure here, in terms of external forces, so they were second in attendance last year. The last time they were outside of the top three was 2003. And they've been in the top 10 every year since 2001. Yeah. It is a huge, passionate, wealthy fan base. And it's still a destination for out-of-towners. Come to Chicago, see the Jordan statues, see the banners, see the trophies, see some great in-stadium entertainment, and watch your team beat the Bulls by 12.
And there's a guy running the show who's been banging his head off of the wall for 15, 16 years, trying to fix it. He's mad. He's sometimes really mad at the world, and he takes it out, and it doesn't matter.
That's right.
Because they're so profitable. Doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, you told the story earlier in the show, because I was saying the first time I saw LeBron was high school at the EA Sports Roundball Classic in this building, and Pax, the new general manager of the Bulls, on your show.
I think he was in his first year as the Bulls GM that year, yeah, right? I think he right after 0-2, I believe, he succeeded Jerry Krause and became the GM, yeah, and asked us if we were going to see LeBron.
That is just crazy that he's been the
still
GM.
Still at it.
Think about... he's been the GM/president of the Bulls for LeBron's entire career.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what LeBron's accomplished in that time.
Don't do this. Let's go back to Mitch Trubisky.
No.
Let's not do this.
This segment brought to you by Fogo de Chão Brazilian Steakhouse. For a limited time, enjoy the best of Brazil for just $39 at Fogo de Chão Brazilian Steakhouse. Enjoy Brazilian cuts like prime lamb steak and picanha sirloin, traditional sides, and the extensive market table for $39 in Chicago, Rosemont, or Naperville. Reservations at Fogo.com. We'll put a bow on this thing coming up. Bulls
Bulls and Lakers tonight on The Score. It's Mac and Parkins on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hello, Beard. How are you?
Hey, Wes. Long time no talk.
Indeed. How you doing today, Baird?
I'm good. Two things. Did you see the Giants-Dallas game where the cat ran onto the field? I hope they find it a good family. He deserves it.
He probably has a good family. Hopefully already does.
Yes, hopefully. Is there anyone on the Bears offense that the Bears can, anyone out there that they don't already have that, I mean, they could find that the cat, maybe put the cat on the offensive line.
Meow.
Yes.
Meow, Les. Meow.
The cat, one of the stars last night on Monday Night Football on ESPN. I enjoyed the game. I think Dallas has got its act together right now. I know who they were playing, but that was a very convincing road victory.
When they're healthy, they're really talented, and Dak can look pretty good. But when anything's a little off, I feel like Dak's just mediocrity is exposed.
Yeah.
Especially when the offensive line was hurt.
I'm not his biggest fan either, but he has the benefit of, if not the best running back in the game, the guy who's 1A in Ezekiel Elliott. That is a terrific football player, and he's got some talent around him at the receiver position. That touchdown Gallup made last night, that acrobat.
Awesome, on the sideline.
That was incredible stuff, and a great effort by Notre Dame product Jalen Smith on the defensive side. He was all over the field last night.
Yeah, and listen, they're a really talented team, but when they didn't have Tyron Smith and Lyle Collins, you took away one of his guards in his left tackle, sacked four times, throwing picks, yeah, looking pretty skittish. When you add in three all-pro caliber offensive linemen, he looks really good. I think a lot of quarterbacks would look good in that situation, but if they're healthy, they're a team that no one's going to want to play because no one can really match up with that offensive line. And like you said, Zeke Elliott's a monster. But there were lots of stars last night. The cat was one of them. Kevin Harlan, in describing the cat, it just makes us happy. He was probably the biggest star of the night.
Oh, there's a cat. A black cat has taken the field. A black cat is running from the 20 to the near side, the 10. From the 39 in Dallas, here's a short throw down the middle, caught by Ingram. Caught at the 35, went to the 30. Now the cat running the other way. And so is Ingram at the 30 to the 25, to the 24-yard line of the Dallas Cowboys. It's a catch run of 15. Now the cat is stopped at the 50.
So is it bad luck for the Giants? Is it bad luck for the Cowboys?
I don't know, but they've stopped play, and the players with hands on hips are watching the cat run and zigzag all over the field. The black cat is at the other end of the field. He's
black
at the
cat
eight.
Doesn't know that it was last Thursday that was Halloween. Thursday
night
right. Football,
yeah,
not Monday night football.
He's a little bit late. Now he is sitting and looking. Now he's at the five.
He's Who brought the
walking.
Cat?
He's walking to the three. He's at the two. And the cat is in the CDW red zone. CDW, people who get it now, a policeman, a state trooper has come on the field, and the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown. And the cat is elusive, kind of like Barkley and Elliott, but he didn't know where to go. Look at, they're trying to corner him, and they got him in the end zone. There are state troopers all around this cat, which now climbs up into the stands, and the fans are running for their life. Now it goes back on the field again, and it's running in the back of the end zone, and it runs up the tunnel.
Yeah, this is a black cat.
Good. So good. Yeah, and actually, Saquon Barkley had a tough time being elusive last night. He had a big explosive, as Matt Nagy likes to call him, on the screen. But the Cowboys did a real nice job keeping him bottled up as a runner.
That'll do it.
It's normally not a sign of a good game if a cat being on the field is one of the most enjoyable parts, but it was actually still a pretty enjoyable game.
Yeah, it was a nice way to punctuate Week 9.
It was fine.
It was nice.
Have you looked ahead to the lines for Week 10?
I have, yes.
Anything you like?
Yes, I like the Detroit Lions as an underdog at Soldier Field.
I do, too. Did you get it at 3? It's already at 2.5.
I saw it at 3, yes.
Okay, yeah, 2.5. So people are in agreement. So there you go, line shock. Got to get it at 3 earlier in the week. I like the Packers to bounce back, only laying 5 at home against Carolina.
That seems kind of safe to me as well. I watched more of Kyle Allen this past week, and while he has been winning, man, he was, you talk about skittish to describe a quarterback, that's exactly what he was in victory. They beat the Titans 30-20, but he was not real good.
No, he wasn't. And then, you know, Monday Night Football next week's really good. Niners Seahawks.
They're due.
Yeah, they are due for a good game.
They are due.
Yeah, Niners minus 6. Yeah. 5.5, 6.
Tomorrow, Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky will speak, and we'll get back to talking a little bit more extensively about the Bears.
I kind of enjoyed ignoring him today, though.
I did, too. It was great.
Nagy.
Mab. This segment brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Fan 4-packs are a fantastic way to enjoy Chicago Wolves hockey. 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 sodas, 1 large popcorn, and 1 low price. To get yours, visit ChicagoWolves.com. We are winners. We are the Wolves. A lot of thank yous today. Bill Wennington was on the show. Len Casper was on the show.
Jason Goff stopped by from NBC Sports.
As did Hub Arkish, all on the show today.
Dave Miska is our engineer, the Miskinator. Gotta keep him Miskinated.
Shane Reardon, the MVP of 670 The Score, did an absolutely fantastic job today.
Tanny's back at the shop taking care of business.
As is the phenom, Sean Anderson. Our guy, Nick Shepkowski.
Back tomorrow. Hey, guys!
And then he'll be gone again. And that's just during the show. He's Dan McNeil. I'm Danny Parkins. David Schuster coming up next with Bulls pregame. This has been a lot of fun. McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
We were just on fire. We had the time of our life. We played just beautiful music all afternoon. We've been going. We've been jamming all day. Today, my dreams came true.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.